And people have looked at me many times and say, where have you even been? You're now wow. You didn't know. God knew I had to be with those people maybe for some years to make sure I don't know nothing. And it's like everybody knows. I don't have a clue. I didn't have any clue. That's just the way it is. God can blind you. He does it. What the Bible says in Isaiah, it said, who is blind? Isaiah 50, I think. But my servant. Who is blind like my servant? Verse 8 says, food. Read with me. Just verse 8. One to go. Food will not make us acceptable to God. We are not inferior if we don't eat, and we are not better if we do eat. Did you just see that phrase? The scriptures say that food, what we take in, is not what makes us acceptable to God. Now, someone might say, yes, he's talking about food only. But I will insist that it's not only food that comes into people. You have multiple senses that take in things. And it is not, I just use the eye place or music or something now. You know, anything that you take in that strengthens you or has a capacity to be enjoyable. Just think of food, characteristics of food. It comes in and does something to you. It goes into the mouth. It's taken in through one of your major, you know, modes of sense. It comes into you. It stays and it passes out. It leaves behind an effect on you, good or bad. It can leave you with a runny tummy. Can leave you with food poisoning. Can leave you with death. Can leave you with strength, life, rejuvenation, health, restoration. That's what food is. It can be very enjoyable. It may not be tasty at all. Yes, may be bitter and unpleasant. Yes, some of you, you know, like vegetable. As what I've said, you know, is vegetable to you. All those things. This is the truth about food. That's what food is. And since your soul and your spirit also has the ability to take in things, it has a mouth, has a capacity to take in things. What does the Bible call Jesus? Bread, food from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread. I've told you, when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, if Jesus came to give you life and life abundantly, how did he say you should get it? According to John 6. He said, eat. If you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you can't be part of me. Food makes itself part of you and makes you part of it. That's what food does. Food comes into you and becomes part of you. Anything that can come into you and become part of you is food. Then I'm saying, if Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, but he also said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I want you to understand that the way the thief comes too, comes through to you as food that steals from you, kills you, or destroys you. You can't just take it only to be Jesus when he said, I came to give you life. You understand that he came as food. John 6, read through the whole chapter. So by the time we get to John chapter 10, it explains, it's food. And he says, this is my body broken for you. Take, eat. I'm telling you, the devil also comes as food, as something you should take in, enjoy. But the effect, so the devil is bad food. Jesus is good food. How you know it was of the devil? The effect on you, when it passed through you, did it leave you stronger, healthier? If you're wondering, how can I know if it's God that sent me to that place that time? How did it leave you? Did it destroy you? Did it make you stronger in God, healthier, more pleasing, more robust in the spirit? Or did it leave you damaged? Have you seen people, well, don't worry, maybe you have, but you may see people that say, God sent me to minister to these people, to reach out to that. How many of you have heard people say things like that, and you know God, that if God sent them, that God has failed? How many of you have come across any classmates, say, God said I should be hanging out with these people to help them know Jesus? And something inside you is like, I doubt it. Because since they've been hanging around trying to help, it's like the people have helped them move backwards. Anyone, you come across them? That's how you know God did not send him. Food makes you strong. Food does not destroy you. Food should make you healthier. Good food, I mean. But if it's destroying them, it means it's not God. It means it's the enemy that lied to them and said, listen, bad friend, claim that you're trying to help them. And then you know it's dragging you into sin. Who are you deceiving? You are being destroyed. Your faith is being killed. It's taking from you what God has given you. It is not the table of God you're eating at. It is the table of the devil. You're going to see that by the time we get to chapter 10. Yes. All right. But the point in verse 8, physical food is not acceptable. Will not make you acceptable to God or not. But even spiritual food, like I said, food in your, of your soul, you're not inferior if you don't eat, and you're not better if you do eat. But I'm saying this is specific, especially for physical food. I just stopped to point out that the spiritual food, which has an effect on you too, which this whole chapter, these chapters also refer to. But he now points out this, that these things you may eat or not eat, these things when you take into your spirit, into your soul, and of course it can affect your spirit too. He said typically it doesn't have to affect you badly. That's why you could look at a book. I could look at a book. I could watch a documentary talking about, I could read an article attacking someone, attacking a portion of the Bible. You know, I kind of like those guys. I've told some of you this before. Some of the places I've heard some of the nicest stories, either about Bob Jones and all that, on websites where they're attacking him. They sit down and transcribe the things he said. So very, I find them most pleasing. I like those guys. Anyone, have you come across them? Do you know you can't find that stuff? But the people they're attacking don't have it. These guys sit down and type out what Rick Joyner said. You haven't read any? Few people. But notice they don't like. Some of them get videos of people that we trust and play the video criticizing. That video, did you have it before? They kind of find them for you. And put them up there. I don't know. Now there are some of you that watch those things, read those things, and go, our pastor does not know. This person is not a good person. This is Sadu. You see? See what they said about him. Sadu exposed. How many of you have watched those things before? By the time they finish, you're like, where's the thing now? You're like waiting for the exposure. Like, what did they do? All you need to do is you remember yourself. I saw one video once. And you're like, look at their meeting. Look at how someone was prophesying. I asked one of us, I said, you people's meeting is worse than this. So the devil is all over this place now. You're finished. And it's you people that are prophesying. It's you people that will go after. After all, me, I was behaved throughout. Do you notice I'm behaved throughout all meetings? So you have a devil. If it is bad with Rick Joyner, and you're worse than him, so who is? So you are evil too. You can't pick and choose. If it happens with one, it's bad. It's bad with. So my point is this. You're waiting for it, till the video finishes. And you don't see anything. You're just blessed. Food will not make you acceptable to God. You're not inferior if you don't eat. And you're not better if you do eat. In other words, does it mean like with food, real food, does it mean you can stay without eating? When he says you're not better if we do eat, is that true? Minus the context. Forget the context. Are you better off when you eat or not? You are. So it doesn't mean that you shouldn't eat food. What it means is the kind of food. Do you agree? Oh no, you're not responding properly. If you don't understand, you have to be. You know this place is not saying that you can stay without food. You will not be better. You'll be worse off if you don't eat. You'll be inferior. Any of you been sick recently? Some of you have been sick recently. Haven't been eating well. Prior to how you were last week. The scale said so. You know the scales? Know what scales are? The weighing device. for checking your weight, the scale says so. Your cheeks were like this. Now they are like this. You are inferior. Flesh has gone because of not eating properly. So it's not referring to eating. It's referring to the foods that were offered to idols don't make you inferior or better. Do you agree? That is, whether a food was offered to an idol or not, his point is that it doesn't affect you one way or the other in God's eyes, except it affected your conscience. Don't worry, as we go on, it'll be clearer. Now, verse 9. But be careful that this right of yours in no way becomes a stumbling block to the weak. So who was he talking to when he says food does not make you acceptable or unacceptable to God? To those that have a stronger, a weak what? What do you think he says to the weak? What does he mean? A weak what? A weak conscience. Did we see it in the earlier verse? Make sure you don't forget what we've been reading so you don't leave and say no. Do you know what people do? They go into the Bible and bring out one verse and start. That's exactly what we are not doing. We are joining all the verses all the way till chapter 10 at least to see a clearer picture of what he's saying. Be careful that this right of yours in no way becomes a stumbling block to the weak. To those whose consciences, he'll explain. For if somebody sees you, the one who has this knowledge, remember, that has puffed you up a bit. Knowledge is not bad. You're using this knowledge to enjoy all the goodies God has made available in his earth, right? Yes. Is that knowledge that you're using? And somebody sees you. This person is a Christian, a child of God too. And he sees you dining in an idol's temple. The issue is not the food. He said an idol's temple. Do you notice he said temple? He doesn't say what was being eaten in an idol's temple. He just says it's in the idol's temple you are dining. In other words, you're saying this place belongs to God. I don't care who owns it. Remember that club? This place belongs to God. I'm here right now on assignment from God. What assignment? To strengthen this body. Hallelujah. This body needs strength. Food. And you're there. And you didn't ask any questions. We are going to get there. About the food. You just said, do you have ishewu? No, that's younger. Do you have food? They say yes. With meat, goat meat or beef or whatever, fish. They say yes. Bring the fish and the food. And you sat down and were eating. You didn't know that that place is a club at night. It's a restaurant in the afternoon. People have not come yet. You came to town to do God's work, maybe to preach. He sat down and ate. He said, won't his weak conscience be encouraged to eat food offered to idols? Did you see it say, he didn't say, won't his conscience be encouraged to sit in an idol's temple? He said, it will encourage him to eat food offered to idols. Did you notice them say that the other guy was eating food offered to an idol? The other guy was eating food in an idol's temple. This other guy is eating food. Because even if it's the same food in front of both of you, it is two different things. You, it is food which you have received with thanksgiving. You need to put that verse there for me. Okay? How the Bible says that the food is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, 5. 4, 5. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You skipped. I said 3, 4, 5. You didn't give me 3. It talked about those people that will say that abstain from foods. He said that there will come a time like that They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods that God created to be received with gratitude by those who believe and know the truth. Do you see knowledge there? So these people were eating this food. How? How did they receive the food when they sat at idol's temple? With gratitude. Father God, thank you. Praise you. Amen. And they cut the fufu with their right hand, rolled it into a morsel, dipped it into the kanikon. I'm torturing you. I want to torture you. Moved it to their mouth. On the way, they slowed down, reversed, picked a piece of dried fish, drove in like a garage, packed it in there. And the crushing machine began to masticate. You swallowed it. You were happy in your mind, saying, God, thank you for food. Without food, where would we be? See this bro passing. Brameka. You don't know what this place is. This place is an idol temple. This place, naked girls dance here at night. This place is dedicated. When they dedicated this place, they talked about it. I saw some pictures on, this place is the devil's ground. You know how church is holy ground? This is evil ground. That woman that served you is a... What's that about? You receive the food with gratitude by those who do what? Believe. Believe what? That's what we are looking at. By those who believe. There's food that God created to be received by those who believe. They are unbelievers and everybody eats. But those who believe were to receive with gratitude and they also know the truth. So what's making the other guy's conscience weak? He doesn't know the truth. For everything created by God. Sorry. Must have made a mistake there. Everyone help me read. I want to say for some things created by God. For everything created. It said everything. Oh. Remember, I'm not just talking about physical food. If God created it, including human beings, how could you put your arms around that guy's shoulder? Do you know who that guy is? Do you know what that guy has done? Question, did God create him? Oh. So he's good. She's good. They are good. Things are far better than you see, than we know. Now, I agree that the enemy, through people especially, has created some things. Do you understand? If it's created by the enemy, human beings are created, creative, because they are made in God's image. It can be bad. I'm not saying everything everyone has created is good. Do you hear that? But everything God created is good. It may have been poisoned. It may have been tainted by the workings of the devil. But if God created, it's good. And nothing should be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Do you notice gratitude, thanksgiving is the same thing? Do you notice again that it's to be received? Oh, come on. It's like, I'm showing this because we are going back. And since it is sanctified by the word of God, I told you what the word of God meant, that God said it was good. Each day when he made what he made, he said this is good. Yes? And also by prayer. Which prayer? Prayer of thanksgiving. He made it good. You can receive it if you received it from who? If you received it as though you received it from God. Go back all the way to, reverse a bit. To verse 3, 2, 3. People, just to remind you, if anyone thinks he knows anything, he does not yet know as he ought to. But if anyone loves, know by him. Yes, go on. 4, 5. Look at this. about eating food offered to idols, then we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yes? Yet for us there is one God. Everyone, next line, read. From whom are all things? And we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone read. Through whom are all things? This is the difference. You see that guy that is weak in verse 9? Go to verse 10, 11. Next two verses. This is the difference between those two people. Plate of food. Same kind of food. One person, when they gave it to the person saw God gave me something. And went, thank you, Father. Are you hearing? The next person, giving exactly the same thing, saw an idol giving them something. And if they go on to eat it in their mind, I am eating something from an idol. How guilty I am. I'm such a sinner. And they shake and quake. But the one who saw it as received from the Lord, in God's eyes, is sinless. And this one sees himself or herself as one who has sinned. Now you know, of course, the temptation that comes with what I've just said. And you know what has happened to people that have an idea of what I'm saying and have abused it. They now go around receiving everything with thanksgiving. Fine girl, come. Enter my room. I receive you with thanksgiving. That money, you stole it from government. It doesn't matter. Bring it. Father! We thank you for this money. The earth is yours, the fullness thereof. I'm really serious. This has happened. This is, in case you don't know, this is what is going through the heads of many of those, even church leaders, that sin and mislead people. This is it. This is where they are coming from. They look at you and they are like, you don't understand. They know if they come up to say, people will scream. So they just believe it for themselves and practice it and receive all things as from the Lord. But the truth of the matter is that God cannot tell you to do evil, that good might come. Everything received from God does not include everything. He said, what he says is good. What sanctifies it? What sets it apart for your use? It must have been set apart by the word. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. Did you hear that? Marriage. So the only way you can receive that sister or brother into any bed, there's a kind of bed. Which kind of bed? Marriage bed. Hebrews 30. He says, the marriage bed, undefiled. Any other kind of bed is what? Defiled. Do you understand this? Any other kind of bed is defiled. The marriage bed is the only one that cannot be defiled. The word of God has set apart the marriage bed. The man and the woman were naked and they were not ashamed. Any other kind of people should be ashamed because they were not, are not one flesh. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the both shall become one. Don't you know that he that joins himself to a harlot, 1 Corinthians 6, is one with that harlot? Yes? And he that is one with the Spirit of God, he that joins himself to Christ is one with him too. And if any man now defiles the body by being joined unto two different husbands, him will God destroy. Is this in your Bible? Go and read 1 Corinthians 6, you see all that. Maybe from verse 18 down. Hey, people, you cannot receive it. It is not sanctified. It is not good, except the word of God has set it apart as good. Do you get? Make sure you get the balance. Because I am not saying for a second that everything is good. Only those that have been set apart, sanctified by the word of God through something God had said. He said, this one is acceptable. And by prayer. Typically the prayer of thanksgiving. So God had given it and then you received it with thanksgiving. But when you see it as though it come from God, but from an idol, from greed, what happens according to the Bible is that your conscience is defiled. A defiled conscience, whatsoever is not done in faith is sin. I've told you before, if you do something, example, you refuse to cover your hair in a church, and when you believe fully that it is sin, you believe that it's wrong to not cover your hair. You believe you should cover your hair, but you refuse to cover it. Say, leave me, Joe, I'll not cover it. You are sinning, even though it is not a sin to not cover your hair, to walk without a scarf. Because the Bible does not talk about covering your hair at all. It talks about covering your head. Head. And we've explained that many times. God doesn't care about your hair. He says he gives you your hair as a covering. He cares about your head. And verse 2, 3, down, defines your head for you. Of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells you what your head is. And it's not your head, not your big head. Sorry. It's just there in your Bible. All right. Is what I just said clear? If somebody sees you, the one who has knowledge of what we've just explained, that anything that God said was good, how does it come? It comes from knowing the truth. Eh? It means you were taught the truth. Now, those people don't, others don't know because they were not taught. You have been taught. You've come to know the truth through the Holy Spirit, through people. You've come to know the truth. It has set you free from the fear of idols and you're able to receive the food with thanksgiving. This other person does not know that you can receive just anything with thanksgiving. Anything that the word of God, he doesn't know the word of God. He doesn't understand this word, even that we are sharing now, on all things belonging to the Lord, and that there are no idols or other gods except one God. He doesn't know that. He knows the laws of God, though. Thou shalt not. But he doesn't know. You notice most of these things are not in the realm of the Ten Commandments. They are just there. He doesn't know what the Bible says about Sabbath. He doesn't understand. He believes with his whole sincerely sad, funny heart that Sunday is the Sabbath. By the way, Saturday is the Sabbath. But he believes that you must keep. He has changed it, though. He has changed it from the Jews. He has changed it from the Sabbatarians, from the Seventh-day Adventists. And he believes that how can you walk on a Sunday? Even some of you are still in that condition. And the Seventh-day Adventists are looking at you and saying, how can you walk on Saturday? You sinner, shall be an everlasting statue. How can, how can you take a job that works? The only reason I know for not taking a job on Sunday is that you have to be in a church meeting. That's the only excuse. But I've told you, in case you didn't hear well, hear it now. Some of you will be leaders of churches that meet on Monday. In fact, at night. In fact, your church meeting starts around 7 at night, continues to around 2, 3, 4 in the morning. That's your church service. You're the pastor of a church that you hear evening church in this. What's evening church? You'll be midnight church. Monday. On Sunday you go to work. Now work you they go. You work every Sunday. Some of you, your church day Tuesday. Some Thursday. Some of you, your church will be in a garage. Some in the trees. You will climb and sit on branches. You can't do ministry with the pygmies and tell me where you sit. Some of you in water. They think your mommy waters. Water. That's where you can go and hide. Go through bush. And hide. Tell everybody, yeah, get water. Let's pretend we are batting. And you'll be talking Bible. Oh, yes, you. Oh, yeah, quote. John 3. Oh, yeah, who is sharing? You'll be how the Chinese used to do. Forget love. You pretend you're singing. Meanwhile, fool, everybody's paying attention on the Bible, they quote too. Because there are spies everywhere. If they catch you, say, what? What did you say? People, did you not hear me? This guy here is not a Christian. Did you hear me talk? Was I not singing? Someone asked, do you know the song? I don't know the song. Say, yes, I'm a composer. Composer. He sang. You notice we were singing. We have a group. We sing. After he sang, you know, answer. By these words, the Lord says, everybody who does my will, I'll beat him up if he falls. If you move back, God won't be pleased. That's how you're doing your Bible study. Someone, you're really laughing at me. You will remember me. You know how serious I am. When they tell you, don't mention Jesus. The one says everyone should come along. You notice I can compose. That's what we were doing inside this river. I was just batting. Short. Yeah. Please, didn't you hear? They say, I heard. Yeah. And they'll turn to the person that reported you and say, this we were keeping church. Say, if you give a false report again, we'll lock you up. And so they go, leave now. As soon as I go sing the song, the guy can say, what's that thing you're singing? Oh, you didn't hear the wording. You can write it down. Take down the lyrics. He goes home. See this guy, they read lyrics. Cry. God, the lyrics is a whole message. It's the lyrics. No, go to the next line. Meanwhile, the next line is just the continuation. Where do you get the song? I said, I just composed it now. Do you like the tune? Yeah. You'll be singing. Even on radio, you release songs. I'm in one society that they say no preaching. In songs. Is it not a song? I love him. Oh, I love him. I love him, love him, love him, love him, love him. He's so good to me. He's so beautiful. He gave me joy in my heart. Sing, I love. I saw these small children for house 5 years. I love him. The father will be remembering when I was small. Those days, Christianity. Child was free. Now, no Bible. This song. This song reminds me, that time I used to know God. You gotta enter the room, lock door, kneel down. Oh God, if you're still there, if I've not disappointed you to unforgiveness, please receive me. Because the person that sang it was not singing to any human being. It was singing to God Almighty. Angels operate on the words of God. Oh, God will do these things. I'm not playing. And to be honest, I think it happened already a lot. Yeah. The most prolific hymn writer in China. Did you watch the video? Seen that video? The person that wrote thousands of hymns. One semi-literate girl like this. Gets all those songs from. Who did I give that video just recently? I copied it from someone. You have to share it. Why don't you guys have it? Something of China. Something of China is a short documentary. Of course, they've thrown her into prison, beaten her up with others and all that. But the amount of hymns, nobody has ever composed so many hymns. She hears it and officially China, they're still persecuting Christianity in its purer form, truly. If you do God's will, you will have to be flexible. The Holy Spirit has 1,000 tricks up his sleeve. Millions of ideas. You paint a picture. Someone will stand in front of you and cry. Painting. And you show someone there and he's helping. You just draw Jesus with short hair. You just show someone like this. And right there. Love to the unknown one. No preaching. All your artwork involves angels' wings. All sorts of things like that. No preaching. But they enter before they walk through that art gallery. They have believed the whole story of God. And even though the people try to say, you're guilty, you'll say, how? Guilty of what? of artistic expression. Artistic expression. Before you go and play in your orchestra, you have prayed in tongues. You heard that music we were singing today? Before you start adding the words, I mean take that, record it. And you're singing this heavenly music that you received, and it's playing on the radio waves. No water. And the people have prayed in tongues for 3 hours before they start. I know that's too long, but before we recorded, we entered studio and made sounds. And we are receiving from heaven and pouring it out. And you think people will hear and go like, wow, what a lovely sound. Wow. Wow. That's nice. I wonder which musical group. Okay. It's not true. That's not how it works. Because as the music is going on, someone is going to get healed. And someone will hear God wordings in a song that has no wordings. There's nothing that the Holy Ghost cannot and will not do. So we have to be slightly more flexible in our ability to understand what God is saying. The Bible says that this guy's weak conscience, with his weak conscience, he will eat that food. But he sees this food as though it is offered to idols. You did not see it as offered to idols. You saw that you were sitting in an idol's temple and eating. He sees you as eating food that belongs to an idol. You don't see it as belonging to an idol. You see it as belonging to God. The Bible says, then the weak person, the brother for whom Christ died, is ruined by your knowledge. And God won't be pleased with you if someone comes. Why do you think we take time to teach many things? Because we need you to understand. Why do we say ask questions? You need to understand and accept the things that are said so that the knowledge does not ruin you. If your knowledge, how did his knowledge ruin him? What should have happened before he ate the food? Who can tell? He should have come to know the truth, yes? He should have come to understand the truth about ownership and the Lord and all those things first. His conscience should have gone from weak to strong, because that's what the word of God does for you. It makes your conscience strong, not hard. The difference between a weak conscience and a healthy conscience. Conscience is easily shaken. I'm guilty. Someone said that they felt an attack, like lust attacked them, and started looking for doorway in my head, that the devil. And I told the person, I'm not saying the devil, there may not be doorways in people's lives, but I don't think that was a doorway. I think as you drove in, because the person said they drove into a place, as they just drove in, it hit, as they just were entering that place. I say, I think you need to distinguish between lust and attack and you sensing a spirit. Because the same way you can smell something, your soul and your spirit can smell things. So sometimes you come around someone, you're standing around someone or something, and you feel something like lust. It doesn't necessarily mean that is like a lustful thought wants to come into your mind. It doesn't necessarily mean you just lost it. You can have just picked the smell of lust on someone. It happens to me quite a bit. But thank God I knew enough to go like, what's that? Okay. And I know that when I'm talking to the person, I need to address the issue of lust. It's not me. I'm not lost it. It is on the person. I'm smelling. I'm picking with my spiritual senses. I'm picking something the person is struggling with. You can even see it in a dream. And if you can't, again, depending on how much you have also, I don't want to say too much about this. Maybe some other things. But just the little I'm saying to you now. A weak conscience merely goes, oh God, I lost it in my mind. But it started, you smelt it, and then that thing wanted to put his arm around your neck, and maybe you allowed it, and then it became your lust. But you picked it from your atmosphere, your environment. There are places you go to, rooms you enter, beds you sit on. and dream lustful dreams. As I'm saying this right now, maybe you should just understand what has happened to you. And you were like, ah, I have not even come back. I'm backsliding. You didn't backslide nothing. You're just foolish. Sorry, you lack understanding. Didn't you notice it was on that bed? No, this time. It's when you came on that bed. It's when you came around that person. I remember years ago, taking someone's hand. Bah, and I don't even understand. Because this is somebody I know in the faculty. As I step out like this, how are you? Hold the person's hand. Took like 1 second. I left the hand alone. I think that was the beginning and the end. I don't mean the friendship, bro. We're still friends, but I never felt any such thing. But it lasted for like a second. But I knew it was from her hand. It was by my touching her at that time. She was probably struggling with, I'm not saying she was lusting for me. She, on herself, had that issue. I held her hand. I left her immediately. You don't go, what does the classic average person do? You say like, I overcome, I resist. You keep holding. You see? Then the devil, that thing starts sliding into your hand. Then your mind, then you're like shaking your head. If you're like me, sometimes you actually physically like try to shake it away. And then you tempt the Lord. You don't even know what the verse means. That let him that thinks he stand take it less of all. You just want to be macho idiot. And next thing, that thing comes and hooks you like this. It may take 3 months to unhook it. And you'll be complaining when you are foolish. Meanwhile, it could have been very simple. You have just left the hand, tack. Walked free, kept talking about something else. Rejected. And that's not why I started telling the story. Why I started telling the story was that someone with a weak conscience gets all bothered. Hey, oh, my always. Oh, ah. No. What did you do? Did you go and read pornography? You didn't do anything wrong. You just picked something. It's like walking past a place and there's feces, poop, and you smell it. So it means you're smelling now. You just smelled something because you passed somewhere. Don't believe on it. Oh, that bad smell in my life has come back. Oh, it means I'm about to fall. I'm about to fall. I'm about to fall. And someone understands, goes like, what's that? Father, in the name of Jesus, help this person, amen. Alright. And goes on with life. And that's it, that's like the end. They don't have this over weak conscience. Weak consciences usually come from experience. So our minds get tuned a certain way. And the devil loves it because he comes and tells you, you're going back. I told you won't make it. Many of you, you're usually afraid. People talk to me all the time and say, and they're afraid. They're afraid of falling back because they smelt a little thing that smelled like that their life before. And they keep being afraid. Stop being afraid. I tell you often. I say, being afraid doesn't help you. Being careful and fearing God will help you. But don't be afraid like, because you don't even keep yourself. You only obey and do what God says and He keeps you. Do you understand? It's God that keeps people. You don't even keep yourself. You can't keep yourself. It is Him who is able to keep you from falling. It's not you that is able to keep you from falling. It's in His grace you stand. When you fall not. You fell. You fell because you stepped out of His grace. So He's not holding your feet. That's why you fell. And every time, check it, was disobedience in your life. It is your disobedience that results in a loss of grace. Because disobedience is pride. The pride of life. So hold on and don't leave His hand and you'll be fine. A weak conscience is not a good thing. All of us must grow out of a weak conscience. You must have a strong conscience, a healthy conscience. I prefer to use the word healthy, not strong. Because some people have damaged conscience and they think it's good. The Bible calls it a seared heart, whose hearts have been seared with a hot iron. Some people's heart is like thick plastic. It's damaged. They don't feel guilty of anything and they think it's a strong conscience. They harden, those are the ones that harden their hearts, commit fornication, stand up tomorrow, continue pretending, doing what God's work. Then commit again. That is, they are not planned. That's not a healthy conscience. That's a damaged conscience. A conscience that is covered with thick layers of hardness that will result in the judgment of God, fiery judgment of God eventually. Because they have died. That's a dead conscience. That's not a healthy conscience. A healthy conscience is a clean conscience. A healthy conscience is a conscience that doesn't feel guilty. Why? Because of what he knows of God's truth. That's a healthy conscience. Because of what it knows. A healthy conscience comes from knowledge. A healthy conscience does not come from ignoring evil. It comes from knowledge. A healthy conscience comes from knowledge. So how do I know some people that have a damaged conscience when I see them go around doing anything? When I see someone that barely knows anything, I know the person does not know Bible, does not have time, and is going around claiming, I can do this and be free. I know that that person has a damaged conscience. But if I see someone who seems to be able to do things that ordinary Christians think is very bad, but they also know the word of God deeply and clearly, I am okay, probably coming from a place of knowledge of truth. But this other one, drinking alcohol, getting drunk anyhow, drinking red wine, drinking a little wine is good for the belly. Have you come across them? Have you come across them? Little wine is good, but they are drunk. Drunkenness is a sin, a work of the flesh according to the Bible. When you have knowledge, you don't break any scripture. It's very easy. If your knowledge results in your sinning against the express commands of God, that one, there's no discussion. You're wrong. You don't have knowledge. God can never tell you to do evil to bring forth good, according to Romans 3. You can't do evil to bring forth good. There's no such knowledge. However, if your knowledge helps, you're going to see it in chapter 9 and chapter 10. If your knowledge helps people come to know Jesus, then that knowledge is true knowledge. It's setting people free. What did Jesus do? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Knowledge, true knowledge that comes with a healthy conscience, sets you free and people. It frees me to sit in that club and talk to that guy. It frees me. That is, it comes from God speaking to me. It doesn't come from my desiring. I've always desired to sit in that club. I so desire to be in a club. I miss clubs. That cannot be God. That cannot be true knowledge. True knowledge comes from, typically, you notice that the people that God uses like this, many times they've been separated from that thing for a long time. And many times they struggle with God. They struggle. They went through this stage of... The closest example I know we have is the fasting matter, which we've discussed many, many times. And because of your knowledge of fasting and the matter of... Sorry, your knowledge of... Okay, let me say accessing God's presence. So you can access God's presence without... I didn't... But many people cannot, because they have a weak conscience. Hey, yeah, God can't just hear you like that. The Bible says, they have heard so many sermons on how, what? Jesus spent 40 days. Elijah spent 40 days. Moses spent 40 days. And you are who? But thank God, Daniel spent 21 days. And Esther spent 3 days. Without water. So which one do you pick naturally? 3 days without water. 3 days dry. In 2 words, yes? 3 words. 3 days dry. Your conscience can handle it. Anything out of that, your conscience is unable to handle because of your knowledge or ignorance of truth. But when you come to know and you have been told, Peter, James, and John and the other 12, did they fast? they went out and were laying hands, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, and preached the kingdom of God has come. When that is what has been pumped into your head from the beginning, when it has been pumped into your head that in Jesus' meeting, self they eat, when it has been pumped into your head that Jesus said, leave them alone, they'll fast later, and leave them. When that pumped, what happens? Your faith goes like that. And therefore, you can enjoy that thing. It's a function of your knowledge. The truth you know. We become what we hear and know. Like I was saying at the beginning, even though I was using government political examples, do you remember? You're a function of what you know. What you don't know, the truth you don't know, you will live subpar. So you will not enjoy it. I've said it before, everything we don't enjoy is because we don't know enough about it. The more we know about it, the more confident we will be to walk in it. The more faith we will have. Other than that, your conscience will be hammering you. Say, have you fasted? Have you fasted? You think you can just run in like that? Have you fasted? Your conscience will be beating you up, telling you you must fast. You must pray very long. So your conscience will tell you, you must go to Bible college. Yes? You must. How can you just, who ordained you? And then you've heard all the verses about the nation, about Aaron, the high priest, about, do you understand? But again, because you have heard that Jesus sent them, because you have heard that they were young people, do you understand? Before you used to hear, you have to be an elder. Let him go. Let the elders of the church. You've heard that one. Are you seeing? I could give you many examples. Your conscience will condemn you or excuse you. You want to see that in the Bible? Is it 1 John 3? Your conscience condemns you or excuses you. No. Romans 3. Your conscience. The problem with your conscience is that your conscience is not necessarily the voice of God. Your conscience is in your soul realm. It's you. Your conscience goes to school. It may be illiterate. It may be ignorant. Your conscience is schooled. It's shaped. Your conscience is shaped by what comes into it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 15. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts. Their consciences testify in support of this, and their competing thoughts either accuse or excuse them. Your conscience works with thoughts accusing or excusing you. What you call your conscience is something that God built into you. Come on, you're going to give me 1 John also, so it balances. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 to 21. 3 verse 20 to 21. Look at this. Because if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now, can we borrow words and all that? Let's do some substitution. One here. Heart there is referring to what? Conscience. Can only mean that. Can't mean the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God cannot be right or wrong. It's a right all the time. So look at this. He says, if your heart condemns you, do you remember that the conscience excuses or accuses? What's the word for condemn here? Accuses. So if your conscience accuses you, what is greater than your conscience? God! That simply means that sometimes your conscience is on the wrong side of the argument. Remember, it's trained. So the way your conscience was trained is the way you go. So your conscience was trained to think that any iota of alcohol in anything is an absolute 100% sin. The only thing I always qualify is this. If you know you're prone, you've been prone to drink, drunkenness. Don't go near it. Leave it like for 10 years. You come back later. But if it's someone like me, keep 50 bottles here. You know, my wedding day, we went for the honeymoon in the Ibom Hotel, then 5-star hotel. And they gave us a complimentary breakfast and a bottle of wine, red wine. I don't know why I didn't collect it, but I sent it back. I said, no. Simply, even though I had been preaching what I'm saying, I'd known this since when? The 90s. At the worst, early 2000. I knew this. I knew this thing I'm saying. I knew from the Bible that when he says that the women shouldn't be given to much drink, that the word much means much. It therefore meant that Paul did not say you can't touch drink. And that Bible verse does not say, Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach. It is a little wine. Yeah? He says you should drink only wine. Because almost certainly the water was bad. And the safe thing was wine. They don't believe, so you're going to have to open the Bible. Do you see their faces? Even he said a little. He said, drink no longer water, but a little wine for your stomach's sake. He said, don't touch water. You want to see it. How many of you are doubting? You are uncomfortable. I should be charging money for every time you guys doubt me. And where is it? 1 Timothy 4? 5 or 4? 4. 5. Verse 23. 1 Timothy 5:23. Want to go? Drink no longer water. This guy will die from thirst now. Okay. But use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmity. So if he's no longer drinking water, this wine is a teaspoon once a day. Eh? Talk to me now. Simply, don't drink the wine and get drunk. Don't drink enough to even affect you. Do you understand this? But simply, Paul does finish telling this guy to substitute water with wine. Is that in your Bible? Is it in my Bible? Like, what's that in your world? Do you see them tell a human being not to drink any water? Or you don't understand what no longer water means? It means don't drink water. And you can survive how? Now, you see why none of you can use this as an excuse. There's water everywhere, all over this Nigeria. And if you're listening to me and you're a sinner, planning to go and drink wine, is there no water where you are? Because the wine has some medicinal value and all that. Actually, so Timothy, I believe 100%. Okay, I'll give 99.9%. He was having stomach problems. There's no other reason to tell him not to drink water. And was having the problems from the water. You understand? He was having stomach infirmities, issues because of water. Nobody tells anybody to not drink water. Water is good. Water is wonderful. Water is very needful. You're meant to drink water. But when water is poisonous and messing up your life, you may be told, don't drink that water. I wish he added for a little while. He didn't. Timothy was somewhere, had gone somewhere, and he told him, don't drink the water there. Maybe he has complained and complained. We don't see Timothy's letter to Paul. Have you seen Timothy's letter to Paul? We see Paul's letter to Timothy. Okay? This is his father in the Lord advising him, telling him what to do to deliver him from his troubles. Do you think he delivered him? If he didn't deliver him, how would they be 2 Timothy? Did you notice his 1 Timothy? Timothy would have died. Hallelujah. It's good to have a father in the Lord. It will save you many troubles. Yes, I write to you young men, for you are strong. But fathers have known him who have been. So the older, longer someone has walked with God sincerely, the more good, wise, godly counsel you can get. Paul knew the truth about wine. Timothy, who can guess what was Timothy's thinking? Do you see, he didn't just go and pick the wine and drink. Sorry, if they said to him, use a little wine. Does that imply he was drinking the wine before? When little, sorry, before little is what? Nothing. Are you correct? Are you learning to be intelligent now? To read the Bible, be intelligent like that. Use your head. If they tell someone use little, it means he was not using it at all. He was like, I'm a child of God. I'd rather drink water and die. Let it kill me. Timothy's like, no. Paul's like, no, Timothy, you shall live and declare the glory of God. Timothy, stop drinking that water. Drink a little wine, okay? It's okay, a little wine, it's okay. Not for drunkenness, not for joy, but to replace what? You need moisture, okay? You need moisture, you need water running through you. The wine is like treated. And let me just say this. Wine doesn't have to, there are levels of alcohol in wine, okay? Again, we've talked about this many at different times. Okay, so there are things you could drink and drink and drink and have an effect. Then I've heard of people that they smell alcohol, they get drunk. They're usually females. I hear they smell it. Now smell, they smell it. Some say they touch their tongue, their head does warm, warm, warm. Now, I'm not talking to you at all. You are not Timothy. There's what type, even all of you here in this Nigeria. I say what I'm saying, I've known and been from early 2000 at least. And in that time, maybe I've tasted wine that has alcohol in it or anything. Maybe 5 times. And I've known this for 20 years. I have zero inclination to drinking. I can never be a drunkard. I can never get drunk. It's impossible. Some of you, your background is Ijo. Sorry, oh. No offense meant against those of Ijo extract. But I hear that in that place, the women and the men, that they brush their teeth almost with Ogogoro. Who has heard? Now let me know. They say it's because of the river. That. So those ones, if you give them wine, I guess they'll say, ah, which kind of team is this? Nothing there. If you give them 13%, they're like, what? Now you know, of course, alcohol at a certain level is damaging and destroying your body full time. You're killing yourself neatly. You are dying. You're killing yourself with your hands. Your liver is almost gone. Even before you have cirrhosis, liver cirrhosis, all those things, you're just killing yourself. You're dying in a hurry. You're hurting many things. So you don't get drunk. You don't drink strong drink. None. Wine is not strong drink. It's not ethanol. It's not dry gin. A Christian should never touch dry gin or any of those things. Even brandy them is too strong. But wine, somewhere between about 4, 5, 6% to about 14 or so, is in that realm of wine. Well, you can check it out. I've told you, check it out before. They have different rankings. Even beer is at a lower level, you know, like that, like that, like that. So there's levels. People typically don't get drunk from drinking beer because they just drank beer. They get drunk from drinking too much beer. But again, it depends on the person. So these are the things that affect you. Drunkenness is always a sin. Someone drink a quarter of a glass of beer and be okay and no effect. Half. Another person, you drink half, you get drunk. And you're tipsy. The earth is moving. Another person drinks a cup, a tumbler, and he's perfectly fine. He's even better off than, that is in every way. Someone drinks a small, but I've told you these stories before and it's a fact. The people they say with the healthiest hearts are in countries like France where they drink some wine with their dinner in the evening. Not in a party, I mean someone sits down to eat and they pour some wine. Their hearts are known to be one of the healthiest in the world. Then the area in the Western world where they die the most from heart attacks, from unhealthy hearts, is the area in America they call the Bible Belt, where they don't touch any alcohol at all. They die the most from heart attacks. They have damaged and large obesity and all that. Some are going to say it's not because of it. It is. It's connected. If they drank a little wine, they'll be healthier. Now, I know every time I say this, I feel guilty because me, where now, I know they do. I'll still be healthy. I'm still fine. I'm eating proper food too. I'm not saying I'm going to go and start drinking now. I have been in occasions once or twice where there's red wine and I poured a little and drank. I drove home. It's obvious I didn't have an accident now. See me. Like 100%, there was no danger to me. None. Zero. And I drank that thing called Ragla that has 2% alcohol. I liked it too. But I drank it one time only. I've not seen it again since that time. I liked it. So I am so not interested in alcohol that even though I'm sure that thing is sold somewhere, I haven't sent for it. I've never asked. But because I was somewhere with my wife and saw it, that's why I drank it. And then my brother, I remember, told me, one brother of mine, says, Smirnoff is fine. He has like 1.5% or so, something like that. Or three. I drank that too. Drank it at least twice in my whole life. Should I feel guilty? Has my conscience ever complained? Not once about any of those things. Because my conscience was sat down and educated thoroughly from the word of God and truth. That there's nothing wrong. That the Bible, now we could go into, I'm not trying to preach about drink. I've preached at different times. The real Bible verses, Titus chapter 2 and all of that. New Testament, not old. There are many Christians say, no, any iota of alcohol. The problem with that argument is that they are eating alcohol in all sorts of things in their food. And they don't know. They put it even in their cakes. And they eat it happily. And a brandy, they put rum. And they are eating it in their gari. Didn't it ferment before you ate it? Oh, that thing that is slapping you. Oh, it is slapping you. Who knows? Does anyone here have knowledge of science? Am I formulating these stories? Am I talking fact? I'm discussing facts here. I'm not formulating stories. You eat alcohol in all sorts of things. You do. It's not me that said it. You do. But when you're taking it, you're not taking with the mind of an idol. Do you understand? You take it as food. And you even say, God, thank you for this food. Trace elements of alcohol is in your system. Yes. It can't affect you negatively because it's too little. So I am not going to go condemning someone that is drinking red wine with his meal. Or just one. Because more people probably have died. Okay, let me not say more. Many, many people die from drunkenness every single year, all over the world. But many people have died from drinking soft drinks, pop, sodas, pop. Yes? All over the world, too. Very many. From eating sweet things, cakes, lots of it, not once in a while, a lot. Many people have died from it. So who am I to be the hypocrite like most human beings and be hypocritical? What is wrong with drinking this one is killing me. What is wrong with smoking is killing me. What is wrong with your being totally indisciplined and drinking 5 bottles of Coke every day? It's killing you. You're a hippo. Okay, I'll stop there. You're not a fool. So keep quiet. And stop being so self-righteous, you indisciplined soul. The money you spend buying clothes while criticizing people would have sent that girl to school. You know, criticizing. But the money you condemning people would have stopped them from hanging around with bad friends. But you buy clothes. You're addicted to clothes. You have a million. Okay. If they calculate your clothes, it's worth millions. When it comes to clothes, you don't calculate. You say things like, I'm a shoe freak. I'm a clothes freak. I'm a hat freak. And you have 50 hats. Do they make you fly? Why do you have 50 hats? When it comes to, you don't think. You're drunk on hats. You're drunk on wrappers. You're drunk on shoes. You are intoxicated. It's the same indiscipline that makes people drunk. Your own just manifests in a different way. His father was a drunkard, so he became a drunkard. Your mother was a spend a spender, so you became a spender. You all suffer from a similar affliction. The Bible says you shouldn't spend money on costly clothes, yes or no? And gold. Does the Bible say so?
Yes.
So what? So why do you jump some verses and go and focus on some? Close your mouth, Hebrew. Don't do it. Alright, so that's why I can see when you hear Anki talking and saying something like, say if someone buys his beer and sits down, how could he say so? No. Don't be ridiculous. I've told you about the Germans. Have you read about the Germans? They drink beer like you drink Coke. They grew up drinking beer like you drink Coke. Beer is as normal. I mean born again Christian. Ha, my brother, beautiful. They claim that they used to hold Protestant services from 11 because Martin Luther used to stay up late till late at night drinking beer with his friends. That's almost certainly the truth. So instead of early morning mass, Martin Luther, our wonderful Martin Luther, the reformer. Oh, he was a German. Not for one second did he think it was a sin. His conscience was clear. Go back. Your conscience can be trained. 1 John 3:20-21. Your conscience can condemn you, or your conscience can excuse you. And who handles that job? God. And how do you get him to do this? By learning to know the truth. Do you know what verse 27 of the chapter before said? It said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Then he began to say different things, talk about hating your brother, talking about children of God and children of the devil. Then he got here and pointed out children of God. You know this verse, 1997, changed my life as a student in the university. My conscience, that my conscience used to beat me. Every so often, lie down. Cry. I suffered at the hands of my conscience. I had a very sensitive, very active. Your conscience are thoughts based on all you have heard and seen and observed since you were born. That's how your conscience is shaped. You know there are people that feel guilty if a whole day passed, they did not steal something and take home to support the family. You don't know. There are people that are like, God will not forgive me. You think all these people that do bad things, all of them have wicked hearts? Some of them are sincerely, they say, God will not forgive you if you don't use that office that God has put you in well to enrich the whole family. You think, people will call you and sit you down. Have you not heard about the man in, I think this is your university, that was telling the fellow guy that reported that he did something, or how did they say it? And he said something like, me and you, we eat from the same communion table. Who, any of you here that was telling me? A family member. Me and you. And what were they discussing? Extorting money from students. And he was trying to shame the other guy into saying that the student should not give extortion money. Me and you, we eat from the same communion table. He was very sincere. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself. We attend the same church. I'm trying to get money from this guy. You're blocking it. Something to that effect. His conscience, he was trying to stay there. So he's like, that's the worst crime you can commit. Some people feel that you're the worst sinner if you help a Muslim. They feel that you need to kneel down and repent. Did you just help that? Did you just say God should bless? Did you just carry that person in your car? You need to ask God to forgive you. Their conscience is different. That's how their conscience has been trained. Do you understand? It's a terrible thing, but it is real. God is greater than our conscience and knows what? All things. Do you see knowing there again? Do you see knowing? Knows. Do you see the importance of knowing? It is knowledge that taught in strong consciences. I hope you're hearing this. It is knowledge of the truth. God, since God knows all the truth, God is able to override the condemnation of your conscience and teach you something through knowledge and say, come, my child, don't feel guilty. It is not wrong, Timothy, to drink wine. Timothy, stop drinking that water and hurting yourself. Timothy, drink wine. God is greater than your conscience. And since Paul knew God better than Timothy, he was able to guide him into that. Take note that God's knowledge is never contrary to his law. I repeat it. God's knowledge cannot tell you to break his law. God's knowledge can only explain what his law has said or not. Because people have a habit of adding to God's words and saying it was God's law. Example, time of Jesus, the Pharisees with tithing. Yes? Like today, tithing, the tithing issue. And you feel guilty like hell. Unbelievers feel guilty. Prostitutes feel guilty. Armed robbers and kidnappers feel guilty of only one thing in this Nigeria, that they didn't give their tithe. Who has ever, who knows any topic as serious as tithe in Nigeria? Who knows anything that nobody, almost nobody jokes with? Is there any other sin that people say no? Immorality is there too. Some people say it's not possible. But people feel guilty about immorality. But tithe, they don't joke with tithe. They must give their tithe. Cultists give tithe. You think I'm joking? You want to hear from people's mouth? Cultists have said that it's tithe that keeps them. If not for, they are real, causing trouble, doing evil, extorting, taking people's things, beating people up, and saying, don't you know what has kept me is tithe? I don't joke with my tithe. Tithe from where, bro? Tithe from where? From the phone you stole and sold? Yes. They don't joke with their tithe. Their conscience has been trained like that. God is greater than the conscience.
I want to say that I have someone where I worship before. I don't know where he worship, but normally he do come to our church and pay tithe every Sunday. He just come and he will not attend. He doesn't attend. Come in. He just come and drop his tithe. Go.
I wish you could have found out the story behind him. But you understand? They don't joke. I've heard of kidnappers giving their... They kidnap someone's father, people's parents. They can beat it. But tithe? No. That's the secret of our wealth. It doesn't matter that they packed, bundled you into a car and took you to where you don't know. And extorted and terrified your family. Mm-mm. But tithe, their conscience has been trained to believe that the worst sin on earth is not to give tithe. That's what their knowledge says. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, what's the word in Romans 2? Excuse, that's what we read. If your heart does, if it excuses you, what's the result? You have confidence before God. Are you seeing that? So do you understand everything we've been saying? Because we are over. What happens with a conscience that knows part of the all of the things that God knows? It says God knows all things. What happens when you come to know on a particular topic, like what I just said about alcohol of any sort? What happens when you come to know about tithing? What happens when you come to know the truth about fasting, about relationships, about looking for one of those difficult areas again? I've mentioned it. We've talked about it. When you know the truth on any of those things, that is not a law that God says, thou shalt never. What happens is that You have confidence. And how are you meant to appear before God? Boldly, let us approach the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Boldly to obtain grace and find mercy. Mercy and grace to help in time of need. What happens with a condemned conscience? You lose your confidence. And it is a requisite to appear before God that you must come boldly. Do you understand? Amen. Question, quickly. I had one or two here. I answer quickly and we pray and we are gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why didn't Paul just pray for God's healing to come on Timothy? First timer. Okay, I know a first timer, sure, but we've talked about this. When did I talk about healing and all that? It's not that long. God is wise. It's not every time that. I think I thought it's not long, a few weeks. Talked about this matter. In the past too, we've talked about Trophimus. Paul said, let me give you a Bible verse. Paul said, Trophimus have I left in Miletus, sick. The Timothy was somewhere, they communicated a letter. This one, Paul was with Trophimus. He left the guy was sick. And Paul traveled. Okay, let me answer you again. Jesus walked to the pool of Bethesda. There were sick folk everywhere. Yes? He healed how many? One! And left the rest. Okay, there was a man who had been laid at the beautiful gate for... No, that was his age, about 40 years. But how long do you think he had been there? Can we open Acts of the Apostles quickly? Chapter 3... Where Peter and John are going to the temple. Quick, quick, quick. We see it together. Hobby. Oh, come on. Go back. From verse 1. Now, look at this. Now, Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried there and placed every day at the temple gate called Beautiful so he could beg from those entering the temple complex. Question. When was he lame? Huh? Since he was born. When do you think he started begging? Just recently. Huh? When did those people pick their careers? Early. Early. Their mothers carry them around, show people their legs from early. As it is in Nigeria, it has been in other places. It's not a new thing. When he saw them, he looked at them looking for money. Okay? And you know the story. I just want you to consider that he had been there for a very long time. Yes? But I want to show you a little something again. Verse 11. Come on. 10 and 11. Have you seen it? And they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple complex. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what happened to him. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, greatly amazed, ran towards them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. Now I'd like you to jump all the way down to verse... Oh, it's chapter 4. Don't worry. Don't jump. Let me just read it. Chapter 4... Keeps talking about this man, verse 22 says, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. So he was 40 years as we heard. 40 years. I think he had been begging for a long time. Let's say he started walking when he was 30 like Jesus. Huh? How long is it since Jesus had died? They were still meeting in the temple. Daily. It was a while. But I don't think it was years and years and years. Why? Because it was still at the beginning. In fact, these guys obviously had not left Jerusalem to go back. They had not been scattered. They were still there. So where is my question? Didn't Jesus used to see that man? The man is 40. Do you think Jesus had been dead for 40 years? Who thinks Jesus had died and left for 40 years? Okay, who thinks Jesus had left for 30 years? Okay, who thinks Jesus had been away for 20 years? How many of you suspect that it was at the very beginning when the power came that this thing happened? So how long had Jesus been dead? How long did it take from Jesus' death to Pentecost? 50 days! Haba! That man used to be there all the time. And when they passed, he looked up to them. They used to see him before, but remember, we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit had come 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. How long do you think maybe this guy, do you think he had been placed there just 2 months, 1 month before? I'm just suggesting that Jesus did not heal by the beautiful gate because he was living a miracle for his apostles. Amen. If Paul heals everybody, even if he can, Peter heals everybody. If all the people that have been before you healed everybody, who will you heal? There has to be problems for each generation to come and handle. Amen? Is it not a principle of God that we've studied? One of the greatest reasons why God does not do some things with some people. I just gave you Jesus and the apostles as an example so that you know that even the most powerful are not called to do all because you only manifest in part. You prophesy in part. Others have things to do also. Amen? So your question, I hope I've answered. Stop thinking that Paul healed everybody. He did not. Stop thinking that God rectified. If God rectified every problem there is in the earth, this age would have ended. But for the next 1,000 years, we'll still be rectifying things on this earth for a very long time. Till we put death underfoot. Death is a problem. Things will still be there to be handled. In the age to come, people will still die at 100 years. And people say, hey, yeah, the guy was a child. Until the time when that too will be put on the foot. I hope you understand this. Next question. Is it right to be homophobic toward an LGBTQ person? You do well. You guys even understand? Who does not understand what this person is talking about? You see? This question is for America. Can you bring that question to Nigeria? I know, but we do have Bob Risky. The people there don't understand. Homophobic. The only thing, whoever asks this question, I don't permit you to call it being homophobic. What do you mean? Now, homophobic means to be xenophobic is to be biased against people of other races. To be homophobic means to be biased against people of different sexual preferences. See, it now makes it sound as if they are different preferences that God allowed. They are not. So this question is crooked. Needs to be straightened. Is it right to feel a dislike for homophobic, for lesbian, or LGBTQ? Write it now. LGBTQ. I said you should write it down. If I ask you tomorrow, you see, you want to form, you know something. I'll ask you. You're forming like, ah, we need now. You know what? You didn't even understand the question. Be forming, I know. L for lesbian. G for gay. B for bisexual. Bisexual sleep with male and female. And T for transgender. Then Q for, only two people knew that one. Queer. So they say, oh, he's a queer fellow. Queer. Queer fellow. You're very queer. Q-U-E-E-R. To be queer. What a queer. What, sometimes when you guys say word, that word used to mean to be word. Funny, strange. What a queer looking clock. All right. So, I don't know, they've started adding this Q. At the time, they just say LGBT. They are very confusing. They've been changing every year. They change. This person is LGBTQ. It's Q+. You have not seen the plus. There's a plus next to it now. Don't go and study, it's not important.
Try!
Now, we won't go to school for America and I will see something. Try. As well, go and suffer shock. Oh, this world has suffered. Thank God for Nigeria. Say thank God for Nigeria. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You see this thing we say about Buhari and you're not allowed to talk. You can't say anything. These people, they are untouchables. Just cough in their direction. Hey! Those days, not long ago, homosexuals were like 6% of America. They like control. They are so in charge. It's so scary. All those Democrats support them. Democrats, that party, that confused party. That Obama came and or rather, how would you treat or communicate with such a person? I would use English. I use English or any other language they use. If the person is deaf and dumb, I use sign language. I write your local language, Igbo, Yoruba, Hausa, Efik, TV. Just use a language they understand. In order to convert the person. Oh, in English still. It's still one of the languages you speak. In order to convert the person, especially if the person sees nothing wrong and he doesn't believe in any other religion. You don't know what I've said it, what I think, okay, about all these things. But in case you're new or you were not there, I hope you still like me after I answer you. But my answer is going to be very short. I don't have time. What is the difference between someone that commits fornication and someone that is a lesbian? Both of them are going to hell. What is your question? Like, why do you think they are more evil than evil? Sin is sin. This distinction people make is a problem. You're telling me that especially if he does not see his lifestyle is wrong. The fornicators, do they see that their lifestyle is wrong? Immorality is anything that is not in the marriage bed. We already even talked about it. There's no difference whatsoever. A sinner is a sinner. The only thing, let me tell you, the only small difference. Homosexuality as opposed to fornication, according to the Bible, is abomination in the sense of you've been taught that there are levels of sin. Again, this person must be new. All right, so what was the title of that message about degrees of issues of sin? It's a recent message. It's not long. So this person, whoever asked that question, get the audio message. I already gave an order here the other day that you should go and listen to the messages. Don't make me keep preaching and keeping people late because of repeating messages I've preached many times. So get that series on issues of sin. Tell them to maybe forward it to you or get something, a device, and copy it from the technical team. All right. But just understand that sin is sin, but there are degrees of sin. There's a sin you commit and it will result like in a slap. There's a sin you commit and you lose a hand. There's a sin you commit. That is like the consequences are what are different. But as per it being a sin, all of it displeases God. But there are sins that will cost you much more. That will cost you much more. It's like the Bible talks about adultery to bring you pain in many ways you won't even know. Many people don't know. And in fact, the Bible says, he that goes into another man's wife said that his shame will not be wiped away. So there's dimensions. Now, fornication is bad. But, and compared to other sins, the Bible says that every sin is outside the body, but fornication is within the body. You're sinning against the body of Christ. You're sinning against your body, physical body. The consequences of fornication are not the same like the consequences of masturbation at all. They are not the same. You don't look at it and say, it's the same. I've already masturbated, so I'm going to go and fornicate now. You can never have HIV from masturbation. You will have HIV from fornication. And you may die. You may die. Just say it. So don't go saying the consequences are different, but they may both be wrong. Don't a mosquito is not a mosquito. When that black one bites you, that flies around you in the day, you may survive. When the other one bites you with Plasmodium falciparum all over its insides, you may lie down for days, sleeping unnecessarily. Yes? Because you have malaria. Both of them may eat and seem to have similar reactions at the beginning. But in the long run, they are not the same thing. If a female anopheles that is infected bites you, why can the other one not give you? Because the other one does not carry that parasite, the Plasmodium parasite. So, sins carry certain things. You don't want everything. Amen. So we've looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 up till around verse 10, 11, and we will continue. I can assure you that there's so much more that I desire to say about that. Before we are done with this, I just hope you keep coming so we get the balance. I hope you keep coming so you get the balance, because I've leaned on one side today. But before we are done, chapter 10, you lean the other way. And what does that do? If you see someone on a tight rope, there's balance. If you lean too much on one side, you fall. If you lean too much on the other side, you fall. These things I'm sharing now, without the balance, you may fall and be destroyed. Like I heard someone was drunk, and they said, the person has visited this place once or twice. I don't think the person stayed throughout. And the person went for a prayer and came back drunk. One young girl like this. And the sister said, how could you get drunk? They said, very tight. I said, it's okay. I'm not guilty or afraid. On judgment day, you answer for herself only. I have no business with a human being that runs in and cuts off one finger of a person and says, I have the person. No, you need the whole body. So make sure you keep coming for us to cover the studies. Praise God.